But we're blessed that, is that working? We're blessed that we have some of the attributes that we have today. It does make it easier. Math is always good, and math can illustrate things. And so today we want to talk about attitude plus truth equals unity. And we're going to take this from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'll ask you to turn there. We'll have a few more passages that we'll read, but I welcome you to stay there and focus on that passage. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And I want you to think about what the church at Ephesus would have been. It would have, you know, we can see chapters 1 through 3. We can see Greeks. We can see Jews. We can see a very culturally diverse background. And we can see that we have a congregation of people that are not the same. They're not homogeneous. They didn't come from the same backgrounds. They're not, everyone's going to be steeped in Jewish culture. They're not going to have every verse in Matthew understood. They're probably going to have to go to Mark. And so Paul is writing this letter, and so he goes through that. But we're looking, and so in verse 4, we have not only truth, but he dictates attitude. And so one of the things I want to make sure you understand in this lesson, this is the last slide I'm going to work. There is no substitute for truth. There is no substitute. You have to have truth. And the truth here that Paul is teaching is there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. There's no substitute for that. We have people today that there is not one baptism. We have people that there is not one faith. Whether it's true or not, I read an article of, and I'm going to put in air quotes, a religious leader this week that says, it's okay whether you're Muslim or whether you're, and I forget all the different religions that was stated, and he said, we're all worshiping the same God, we're just getting there different ways. That is not what Paul taught. That is not what Christ taught. We can only come to the Father through Christ. And so whenever I speak of truth, I'm going to leave this part, but I'm not underplaying this part of the equation. I want you to make sure you understand that. But what I want to talk about is attitude. And I want you to notice in verse 15 of this passage, in verse 15 it says, but speaking the truth, so notice the truth, in love. I have to speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. How we interact and how we build the body is just as important as the truth because we have to do it in love. And these passages are telling us that. And that attitude is important in how we seek and find the truth. And we're gonna explore all of that and why that's important. And we're gonna show why it is in these passages. So take your Bibles and let's read the first three verses. And I have some things here highlighted. And it says, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, therefore, and so remember, I started the lesson off who Paul is writing to, the church at Ephesus. And you think about the diverse background that the church would be seeing during that time. And I'm going to tell you, whenever you hear people say, well, it was culturally different back then, and we're a different culture today, folks, we don't even understand diversity of culture and what the New Testament church was dealing with. Even if you think about the different countries and the strengths of different sects and different things there, I don't think we can relate to that even today in our culture. There was a very diverse culture back when Paul was preaching. And if you think about across all the boundaries that Paul was speaking to, just think about that there. So the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. So we need to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another, and being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I just noted, I know we said we're going to try to tell everybody where we're preaching from. This is the New American Standard. And I chose the New American Standard for one of the words that's in this passage, and it's tolerance, because I like what that puts, and we'll talk about that. But if we're gonna be walk in a manner worthy of the calling, we have to do this with humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another. And so notice doctrine, truth about one baptism, one hope, that all comes in the next few verses. But this is how we're going to be, how we're going to have unity of the Spirit. Humility. And I started to put a definition here, and you have the passage up here. I usually try not to put the passages, but this is one, whenever I think of humility, this is what I think about whenever I think of humility. And this is Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. True leadership. True humility we can see in Christ. Christ emulated this verse as best as anybody. He did not come to this world for himself. He came for the Father, and he came for you and I. And as we go through life, and as we work through problems, are we looking at ourselves? Or are we looking at others? This is such an important verse for us Christians. And I will tell you, this is a command. This is a command. Husbands, apply this to your family. Husbands, apply this to your family. And the other here is your family. It is your wife. This is hard. This is not easy. And if it was easy, any of us could do it. But so look out and make everybody else more important than yourself. That's humility. That's a key formula for this passage. Gentleness. So I put a little definition here. It's mild and even-tempered. It's mild and even-tempered. And so Paul describes describes here himself. Now, I, Paul, myself, urge you in 2 Corinthians 10:1, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when I face to face, but with you am bold. What I put this passage up here for is gentleness of Christ is what I really wanted to point out here. The gentleness of Christ. And I want you to think about, and we're not going to turn over there because we don't have time this morning, but I want you to think about John 8:1-11. And I hope you understand this story. This is where the Jews bring the woman that's caught in adultery, and they bring her to Christ and says, here's this lady that's caught in adultery. What are you going to do about it? Christ knew what the Jewish law was. He understood the Jewish law, that if you were caught in adultery, that meant stoning. And what they were doing, they were putting him to the test. Well, in Roman government, they couldn't stone or wasn't supposed to. But we know that Christ knelt down and wrote something on the ground. And we know that he said, for the one who has not committed sin, cast the first stone. And we know in this story that everybody left. And then he instructed the woman to sin no more. But what I want you to notice in this, number one, Christ took control of the situation. I don't perceive as I read these passages that he was up screaming and hollering. He took control of the situation. He stopped the mob action by what his actions were. He stooped down to the ground and wrote something on the ground. We're not told what that is. He aligned the mob with the truth. How can you bring a woman caught in adultery without bringing the man? Last time I checked, it takes two to perform that sin. He showed their hypocrisy. They were not interested in following God's law. And then, after they all, he stopped the mob action, he still instructed the woman and still held her accountable. Do you think the way he handled that situation, he changed her point of view? Do you think she saw something different in the way he handled that? So whenever we think about gentleness, it's being even-tempered and working through. Patience. And I think we see that, if you notice, I have two even-tempered up here. You have gentleness. That's in a situation. But even-tempered while enduring trying circumstances. And I kind of put this one at whenever somebody's shooting at me. I look at this as kind of, how do I take the situation whenever somebody's got their thumb or they've got their foot on my neck and they're putting pressure on me, figuratively, how am I going to act and what's going to be my response to that? Proverbs, the 19th chapter here, it says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. I do not believe this transgression here is talking about truth. I believe that transgression is against me. And so the way I would describe that is whenever you're in a situation and the arrows are flying, and they're flying at you, and people are fairly or unfairly targeting you and your personality and your thoughts. 30 years ago, I'd tell you how to handle that. Turn the other cheek. That's not patience. I wouldn't have done that 30 years ago, but it illustrates the point. 38 years ago at University of Central Florida, I would have turned the other cheek on the football field. But the point is, we have to be slow to anger. We have to be patient with one another. Sometimes our brothers and sisters don't realize they just hurled an arrow at us. You know why they don't realize that? Because they don't have the same life experience as I have. They don't know that what they just said, that one of the most hurtful moments in my life, somebody said that to me. And they might not mean it like they said it, but I got to have patience with them. And so that's why whenever I look at this patience, I'm thinking about even-tempered whenever I'm in a trying circumstance. And one of the important things here is slow to anger and how we respond. And everybody's done this. And so here's another family input. Whenever the disagreement degenerates into an argument and yelling, are we focused on the problem or are we focused on now seeing if we can tear each other down quicker? So we have to be patient with one another so that we can focus on the issue at hand. Because once we get angry, we take our eyes off the problem. We take our eyes off of Christ. We take our eyes off the calling of Christ. Showing tolerance for one another. And there's many passages that I can go through in the Gospels where Christ is telling them, I'm going to be crucified, and they couldn't get it. They couldn't understand it. And we see a whole different outlook of the apostles after the crucifixion and the resurrection. They got it then. But it had to hit them in the face. And to me, whenever I think about tolerance, I think about Peter, and I think about the institution of the Lord's Supper. And Peter says, but Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And I think with gentleness and patience, and I want you to think about Christ's attitude that night. Christ was fixing to go to the cross. Christ knew he was fixing to be up for 24 hours. He knew less than 24 hours he was going to be dead. He knew that his Father was forsaking him. He knew the pain that he was going through. And Peter is sitting here saying, I'll never forsake you. And look how Christ answers him. Yes, you will. Truly I say to you that this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And there's no response after that. Do you think Christ was tolerating Peter that night? Do you think Christ was tolerating Peter whenever Peter cut the servant's ear off? Do you think Christ was sitting there like, don't you get it? Our brethren are going to be just like Peter. We've told them. We tell them. We've illustrated it. And they're still not going to get it. Why do you think Christ was tolerant with Peter? Because he knew 50 days later he was going to be standing up and he was going to say, and you crucified him. I just really am so impressed with Peter. that he did this, and the power of God's resurrection and the power of Christ and the power of forgiveness, that Peter understood all of that, because on day of Pentecost he could stand up with a clear conscience and say, "You did this." And he knew what he had done. But think about that tolerance of Christ having with Peter. It's just, to me, why can't we tolerate each other? And I mean to tolerate. Husbands and wives, don't we tolerate each other sometimes? Sandra would say amen. She tolerates me a lot. So that's what love is tolerance. I didn't put a passage here. It says diligent. This is hard work. Having these attitudes, we have to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. And the time that we want to give up, we have to keep moving forward. As Christians, it's not easy. And remember, this whole conversation is about seeking the truth. It's not easy to seek the truth. It takes work. And those attributes that I've mentioned, it takes a lot of work. We have to be diligent. It's not going to be one and done. I have been trying to teach an organization how to do something for several years. And I had a meeting the other day and I was smiling and I was like, we're getting there now. We're getting there. So the question is, okay, I'm not a good teacher, or I just needed to be diligent to bring everybody along. So we have to keep moving forward. Why must we have these characteristics? Why are these characteristics so important? These characteristics are so important because we're building up the body of Christ. We're building up the body of Christ. We're not one or two people. We're talking about an organization. We see words like, until we all attain the unity of the faith. That's the biggest word, biggest little word there ever is. Paul didn't get Sandra's lesson on never say all. We all like to say, you're always making that mistake. No, we don't always make that mistake. You're all doing that. You see how that's so inclusive? It is very inclusive. And we're all supposed to be coming along. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. So this is not necessarily, as I read different people's opinion, this is not necessarily as much talking about the joint, but it's talking about the whole complete body. It's talking about the blood vessels that have to be there, the nerves that have to be there. It's talking about all the different parts of the body. But if we're going to have the unity of faith, we've got to bring everybody along, because it takes everybody to make the Lord's church. It takes everyone. It takes each individual part. And we're not all in the same place. Matter of fact, some of us have been Christians for many years. Some of us has only been Christians for a short time. Some of us came out of error. Some of us have got piles of sins in the past that we're just glad somebody will take them away from us. The point is, we're all in this together and we all come from different backgrounds. And so how we solve problems, the attitudes in which we come and we solve those problems is so important because of this slide, because we're trying to build up everyone, everyone being all, and we all need to be fitted together in understanding the truth. And it's so important how we do that. So important how we do that. So going back to this slide, we have to have love. This is where we started out. And we have to have love, and love is going to bring about these attributes. And the conclusion of this, if we're going to preserve the unity of the Spirit, if we're going to preserve the unity of the Spirit, notice the author didn't stop there. If we're going to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, in the bond of peace, these attributes are as important as getting to the why we get to the truth. How we get to the truth is it's important how we get there. So in conclusion, as we search the truth, we see Paul telling us that humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance, and being diligent, plus truth, gets us unity in the bond of peace. Is this easy? No, it's not. I actually thought about today's lesson was possibly I was going to go through and show how this didn't work in the first century church. Do you realize I can probably teach two lessons on the first century church where this didn't work? Do you think the mother of two of the apostles, whenever she came and says, "Can my son sit on your right hand?" Do you think she had humility? I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about all the different scenarios of where conflict and different things happened because the first century people did not have these attributes. So that was a squirrel moment. The whole point is let's find unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we must implement these attributes. And if we're going to do that, I would also share with you, probably going and looking in Galatians at the fruit of the Spirit would also, but we didn't have time to do that. So the lesson is yours. I hope it's been profitable, that attitude plus truth is going to equal unity. And we see Paul, as we go through these 16 verses, we see that attitude is important. And it's because we all come from different backgrounds. Let's work on this area as much as we work on truth too. Because both are important to get where we need to go. Because that's our calling from Christ. If anyone here needs to come forward, if you've not obeyed the gospel, we always have the tradition of leaving this last moment in the day, last moment in our worship service, for a brother to come up. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation. But as I often say, I like to, and we all say this, it doesn't matter if you want to obey the gospel. We're 24/7 outfit. Just call us. We're there for you. But the whole point is, we're here to help each other to get to heaven. And so, if you need the prayers of the congregation, or you need to answer the gospel call, please come forward as we stand and sing.